Hi, this is Pastor Jack Gibbs of Real Radio, and I want to give you another reason why you should vote. Are you ready? It's a big one. Israel. See, Israel? Yeah, listen, America has always had a policy of defending and being alongside Israel. In fact, in some ways, America has been a big brother in the growth of Israel and the founding of Israel. It was our president, President Truman, that opened up that door for Israel to come into existence. You might say, what does that matter? Because God says, I will bless those nations who bless you, Israel, and I will curse those nations who curse you. That's Israel. The last thing we ever want to be as a nation is a nation that turns our back on Israel. God loves Israel, and we have been blessed because we've loved Israel too. So in this next election, vote for the defense of Israel, and God will bless your life. Read Genesis 12. God promises to do that for you if you'll stand for Israel. And we stand for Israel by how we vote. So join me, because it's time to pray, vote, and stand.
Today on Real Radio.
Please, if there are any of you dear knuckleheads in here this morning that think you can get to heaven by being good, you'll only wind up being the best person in hell. You can't get to heaven by being good. You can't do it. God doesn't grade like that. He grades on the scale of perfection, which is no scale.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 3. The Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Christ, who later on became the leader of the first church. His message of encouragement, hope, and practical Christian living transcends through the ages. He's an example of how we can have holy lives and have godly influence while submitting to human authority. In part 2 of chapter 3, we learned that wives weren't valued as they should have been in Peter's day. But God has called the Christian husband to treat his wife as an equal partner. His love and respect for his wife provides a safe space for her to submit to him as head of the household. Our quality of character matters to God, especially in marriage. In our relationships, our sinful nature can get in the way, but when we ask for forgiveness from our spouse, it shows our humility towards them and to God. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God honors the dedicated love of the wife, especially towards an unbelieving husband. It's one of the greatest mission fields set before the church today. A godly woman is a testimony of enduring faithfulness and a powerful witness to her husband. And now in his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So mark the word observe. The word in the Greek means this. This is what the original language meant when Paul wrote it, or when Peter wrote it. It means to look upon. When the husband looks upon her, to gaze at her. It's a beautiful picture because the word means this. Everybody watch my face. It means this. The word means this. Does that send you a picture? What do you do? When you're looking like this, what are you doing? You're thinking, what is this? The husband's somewhat amazed. What's going on here? He sees this. The word means to evaluate and to examine. Very powerful. It means to ponder. One translator of the Greek language puts it this way. It means to look at the observable fact. I like that. What are you looking at, sir? My wife. What about her? There's an observable fact. I don't understand it. She loves God, you know, whatever that thing is going on. But there's something different about her. I don't see this in other people. Thank God for a woman's witness and testimony that way. But the word goes on, and I'll read it to you just right out of the scholars who penned this, the Greek meaning of it, and I thought it'd be good for you to have. It says the word here employed by the Holy Spirit. Of course, the author of the Bible is powerful because of the fact that it was most often used in the first century Roman Empire as a legal term. It was a word used in court proceedings regarding a witness. The exact meaning of the word is this, quote, I am an eyewitness to the events in question. Imagine the husband is saying,
The Bible implies that the husband will someday, based upon the word usage, confess that I am an eyewitness to the events in question. Ooh, what's in question? Let's read on. It carries with it the thought of the final day of judgment. The unbelieving husband will someday stand before God the judge and will confess to the hidden truth now made known to eternity, which will be, quote, this is the unbelieving husband. Think, he dies in unbelief. He had a godly wife. Imagine his hand raised before the great bar, the great judge in heaven. Quote, I testify that it is a fact that my wife loved you, God. I saw that truth in her life. I stood repeatedly against what she believed, and I was willfully in rejection both of her witness and the witness that you showed me by not believing in her or you. Strong word. If you're an unbelieving husband and you have a Christian wife today, God is warning you that he has that woman in your life to reach your soul for eternity. God loves you and he cares about you and he gave you your wife. In Luke chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, Luke 12, verse 2, that there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark or in secret, some of your translations say, it will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, a whisper, in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. This is the Jesus speaking about the day of judgment. The Bible says that all things before God will be laid out. Each of us as individuals, and it says in the Bible, will be naked before God. Now look, if you're a Christian, that's terrifying enough. Paul said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, right? And that's for the believer. But listen, our sins are forgiven. Those of you who are Christians, not one of your sins will be brought up on the day of judgment. Can we? Thank you, God. That's the whole work of atonement at the cross. That's what Jesus did. Jesus took that away. Listen, allow me to put it this way. It was a covenant, a contract between God the Father and God the Son that he would die for the sins of the world. And all those who would trust Jesus for what he did at the cross 2,000 years ago, what the Father does is apply the blood of Christ to the sin of the sinner, and it's washed away because the righteousness of Jesus becomes ours, handed to us. We don't earn it. Please, if there are any of you dear knuckleheads in here this morning that think you can get to heaven by being good, you'll only wind up being the best person in hell. You can't get to heaven by being good. You can't do it. God doesn't grade like that. He grades on the scale of perfection, which is no scale. You either today have the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to you because you have faith in Christ, you trust him, or you don't. And the Bible says in the last day, everything's going to be made known. But for us who are believers, the Bible says we have passed from judgment into life. Woo-hoo, man. You can clap about that. Beauty. The godly example, I think of Rebecca in the Bible, Genesis 24. Listen to what the Bible says about her. Genesis 24, beginning of verse 16. It says, now the young woman, that's Rebecca, was very beautiful. Okay, when the Bible says, and the woman was beautiful, that's something. But when the Bible says she was very beautiful, that means she was very beautiful. Rebecca was a cutie beyond. She was not only cute, there is something about her. She was a godly girl, but what do we know about her? Well, imagine having your life written down in the Bible. It's right here. It says that she was very beautiful to behold, to look at. She was a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant, this is Abraham's servant, ran to her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. She's showing respect, this stranger. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Verse 19, and when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Excuse me, earlier the Bible says this man had 10 camels. Have you ever seen a camel drink? No. You want to know why? Because they rarely drink. But when they drink forever. Okay? That's why you've never seen one drink. So Rebecca is filling up to the well and back 10 camels. She's filling up each hump at the pump. Very beautiful. What's amazing? She's a servant girl in heart. She's not a servant. She's a servant at heart. Verse 20 says, she quickly emptied her pitchers into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. And the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Any woman who fills up your tank like Rebecca's doing, because you know God had laid out this wonderful plan in Genesis. This is a beautiful woman who was not so enveloped in her good looks to be a kind and gentle spirit. I've told you before, I'll say it again. Rebecca's not only beautiful, she's beautiful inside. Somebody can be beautiful on the outside, and when you get to know them, they become as ugly as sin. I mean, what? I don't care what you look like. Look, I'm an old man now. I'm smart. It's too bad we get real smart when we get old, and we're the smartest right before we die. But we make, you know what, we need to trust God in our relationships. We make it too difficult. Look, if you're married today, make it work. Make it work. But you don't, no buts. Is there hurt? Is there pain? Is there history? Of course there is. Just get help and make it work. Why? For just this one reason alone. If God is allowed to have a chance to work in your marriage, all the junk that makes you sick, that breaks your heart, all the junk, you know what he does? He reconfigures it. He makes it into an awesome ministry. He gives you and your husband or you and your wife the ability to speak into other people's lives, and you can say, you know what? I was married to a bum, or I was married to a bummerist, a she-bum, and it was horrible, and her marriage was ruined, but, and you hear it all the time, but, I was in Minneapolis yesterday, and a woman came up after I was done speaking, and she said, I was watching last Sunday's message. You mentioned in your message that in the foyer, somebody said I was going to be leaving my husband this week, and this message gave me the encouragement to stay and to make it work, and she said, I heard that. That was my plan. And she said, I heard what you said about what that woman said to you, and God said, you can do the same. And she said, I set out this week to love my godless husband. That's tough work, ladies and gentlemen. But I commend her for that commitment. But let me tell you, when God turns your marriage around, marriage is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. When God gets a hold of it, he'll take the worst marriage and make it into the most amazing thing for a ministry tool. And you'll be blessed by it. Don't be surprised if God catapults you before people, because it's greatly needed today. But the Lord, just like Rebecca, you can see this love being detected. She's special. Based on this word observe, it's what we've been talking about, where there's such a great demand and need for a witness that the unbelieving husband would observe, just study and look. Wives, please, do not put this yoke on your shoulders. I am not saying, nor is the Bible saying, you got to be perfect in front of your man. There's no such thing. God's commandments are gentle, and His Holy Spirit gives us the power to do them. God's on your side. You might say, Jack, my marriage is so messed up. And sometimes I've just prayed that God would take my life out of this marriage. God would just kill me. Or maybe kill my husband. But I want it over. You know God understands that feeling. He's not pointing a finger at you. He's extending hands to you. And He's saying, you know what, just give me another chance. Just give me a chance. And to the wife I say today, not exclusively, of course, but the context, we're talking about wives putting up with unbelieving husbands, but this is for all of us. But to the wife I say, Matthew 6:31, the Bible says in Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry, Jesus said, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? That's what everybody worries about. For after all these things do the Gentiles or the non-believers seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of and all these things, but seek, here it is, verse 33, but seek. The word means search. Turn over everything to find it. Leave nothing undone to pursue first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And look at the promise Jesus gives. Put God first, and then He ends it. All these things will be added to you. Wife, listen, wife of an unbelieving husband, seek God first. And God says, I'll add to you all these things. There's an order to pursue them. God wants us to have this dedicated love. And then the word chaste, mark it there in your Bibles. It means sacredness, her sacredness. When He observes your, her sacredness, dedication, purity. Listen to this. I like it. It means her heart or her soul. This presupposes that there's been a change in her life. And He's looking at that. He's pondering. He's observing. This is an amazing, powerful thing because now you already know that He's watching the change going on in your life. Of course, it's not perfect, but there's a change. He can't figure it out. There's something different. And God is speaking to him and saying, you better pay attention to this change. I am hereby putting you on notice, Mr. Unbeliever. I have given you not only my son on the cross, I've given you this wife that is a testimony to who I am and what I can do. And you need to make a decision. We're living in what the Bible calls the last days. And everything is enumerated in the Bible regarding these last days, and it's getting more clear, more clear every year. It's getting more clear. And it all can be known. It all can be studied. It can all be. I sat on a plane last night on the way home to a currently active young man, U.S. Army, 6 years stationed at Fort Irwin. And it was awesome. Some of you know Professor Lewis at CBU. Awesome brother of God. So great. So I get on the plane coming home, and there's Dr. Lewis sitting there. And I said, Dr. Lewis, oh my goodness, great to see you. Well, I'm sitting, he's sitting on the aisle, and I'm sitting on the window, and there's an open seat in the middle. Plane's about ready to take off, but this young kid comes in, big kid. You know, it's great. But, you know, it's tough sitting like this all the way. Big kid, U.S. Army. So Dr. Lewis and I were talking around him like this. We're acting like he's not even there. So I said, excuse me, this is Dr. Lewis, Cal Baptist University professor. And my name's Jack. But if you haven't picked up on it, we're Christians. And he just said, that's fine, sir, that's fine. And I said, well, wait, let me tell you something right now. And I said, you know, there's Christians and then there's followers of Jesus. There's a big difference. And I just want you to know that we're not Christians. We're followers of Jesus. And the Bible, I started talking about the Bible and he said, yes, sir, yes, sir. You know, it was great. But The point being, which I completely forgot why I even brought that up now. I was really going somewhere. Oh, that we're living in the last days. And he said, oh, I've been all around the world. He said, this is good. This is good for a kid to say. I've been all around the world. And he said, there's no place like America to come home to. I said, you know what? God bless you, young man, and thank you. I said, thank you for that. I said, I'm sitting on this plane right now with you, safe and sound, because people like you are all over the world sacrificing your freedoms that we can do this right now. And I want to shook his hand. I want to thank you. And he was completely blown away. But it was amazing because God opened up a door. I'm on my phone. There's text or calls from Colonel U.S. Air Force Damon Friedman, then General Boykin, U.S. Army. And he's going, who are you? I go, well, that's not important. But I said, you see these guys right here on this text? These are all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the last days. That young man said, I don't know how much longer the world can go on like this. And I said, not long. But these are the last days. And the question is, are you ready to meet the last days? And God may have sent you a wife into your life regarding the last days. I put this down in my notes in bright yellow so I wouldn't flub it up. It's one thing when a woman in this world of ours is prostituted and pimped for money. And it's happening across our land and across the world, and that's a tragedy. It's one thing when a woman has been damaged by sexual abuse in the home. That's a tragedy. But it's quite another thing when a woman becomes herself, a woman becomes a brazen and bold sexual predator herself. We live in a culture where God says the woman is to be protected and loved and nurtured and cared for and exalted by the man. Many of you have never heard that before. The example is Jesus Christ loves the church, died for the church, presents the church to heaven, loves the church. And the Bible says the husband ought to love his wife like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today, and imagine just how great a marriage can be when both the husband and the wife are totally committed to the Lord and to each other. When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we have more books on marriage and relationships in this world than ever before. But the divorce rate, well, it continues to soar. Pride and self-centeredness has altered God's order and purpose of marriage. But God's Word also has the solution. That's the truth. And it's why we're offering a DVD set right now on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage. Now, this four-part message is for a gift of any amount and provides a guideline for both spouses on how to be an effective and godly influence in each other's lives. You'll find it right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Hey, don't forget that Pastor Jack is on YouTube. His channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And once you're there, you'll find hundreds of videos, including Bible studies like 1 Peter and topics such as prophecy, how to break free from fear, and how the Holy Spirit still works in the lives of believers. There are interviews with special guests, podcasts, live streams, and so much more. And if you like what you see, don't forget to hit subscribe and the like button. Again, Pastor Jack's YouTube channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.